You're listening to ListCast. If you'd like to reach us, you can email us at listcast5@gmail.com, or you can alternatively reach us at our website, post comments, or give suggestions for top five lists at listcast.podomatic.com. Enjoy the show. Hello, and welcome to the next episode of ListCast. On this tonight's episode, we are going to do movies that are stuck in the past. And by that, we mean movies that are dated or somehow stuck in the era that they were made for either good reasons or bad reasons.
Right. The way I like to look at it is some of these movies, although we may still enjoy them because they have a certain nostalgic degree to them that brings us back to our own childhood, or these movies still hold up. They still can stand the test of time because of their material, mm-hmm. but they're so entrenched in the time that they were made that it's very hard for it to escape it. Especially, you know, we're talking about visually. Most for me, that's how I kind of.
Well, some of mine are visually. Some of them are actually because of the politics or beliefs of the time.
Because, there's a way we can look at this different ways. I'm interested in what you would come up with as opposed to myself.
Yeah, I'm wondering if we're gonna run into any of the same.
I don't think so. I think the way I looked at it was probably a little different.
All right, well, okay. Who's going first today?
I am going first today.
Okay.
My number five, I'll just say one word. Wolverines!
When I was looking at this list, I saw that movie listed a lot, but okay. All right.
The great cinematic masterpiece that is Red Dawn.
Okay, now, before you even go on with this, are you putting this on this list because it's good or not good, that it's stuck in the past?
Good or bad, it doesn't matter. I watched it a lot when I was a kid, and it definitely does not escape its time. It's dated by its visuals and by the fact that it was made during the Cold War era.
Gotta disagree with you on this one.
No,
man.
You're wrong.
You're
so fucking wrong.
Let me speak. Obviously, the political stuff is 80s. The Cold War, the enemies and that they specifically faced, but
the Red Minish.
Yeah, but communism and all that. Yeah, right. But obviously,
although weren't they like invaded by Cubans?
Because it was a Cuban Russian mix. They never really explained that,
right? Yeah,
but I don't think the movie, to me, it does not feel like fantastically dated. I mean, obviously hairstyles and everything. It was an 80s.
Okay, movie, I just said in the opening that there's different ways to look at this.
Right. That's what I'm trying to figure out. What are you looking at with this?
Visually, right. When you look at the movie, it has a very 80s feel to it,
as in hairstyle or the types of film stock.
Types of film stock, hairstyle. There's well-known actors in this movie that are very young. Patrick Swayze, Charlie Sheen, look very young in this movie.
C. Thomas Howell.
Yeah.
Jennifer Grey. Jennifer Grey. Who's the other one? Leah Thompson.
Leah Thompson. I forgot.
Powers Booth.
Oh yeah, isn't he the soldier?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, the movie is still fun to watch. It's campy and silly, but it's got some pretty cool sequences in it, like that opening scene when they're in class and they look out the window and they see the paratroopers coming down, and that teacher's like, "Hey, what's going on here?"
I think that scene's badass.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
But I don't find it dated.
Well, I do. It's soaked in the 80s. It's dipped in the 80s. It goes to bed in the 80s.
All right, then I'm going to use as my number five a movie that I think is genuinely 80s dipped.
The movie is still fun. Even though I know they're making a remake of it now.
God, yes.
Whatever. It's still a fun movie to watch.
Or it's going to be probably Iraqis that we're fighting.
Yeah, Iraqis.
Iraqis.
And the Nazis.
Killing Nazis.
But nevertheless, I think it's soaked in the 80s by, like we just said.
Avenge me!
Can't afford to be crying anymore now. I won't either one of you ever cry for me again. I'll ever do it. Not as long as you live.
Where's my dad, Mr. Eckert?
I don't know, son. Go get going now. Get out before they find you.
Dad? I love you.
I know you do, son. I love you too.
Boys! Avenge me! Avenge me!
And they have that kind of weird scene. I guess it's sad too, where they kill their friend because he told the Russians where they were.
Yeah, wasn't he carrying a bug?
No. He betrayed the Wolverine clan. He told the Russians where they were.
Yeah, but I think he did that by swallowing a tracer bug, and that's how they were always finding him. I think, could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, I know that's sad. It's messed up, and it hurt them to do it. Right. And I like that they played that
wasn't
out.
It C. Thomas Howell? He just it comes out of nowhere. It's in a static shot. He just raises up his gun and shoots him.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Whoa, that guy just gets shot.
Yeah,
that's sad.
And if it was in the snow, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it made the blood that much more dramatic.
Right. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
It's when I was a little kid, this movie was kick ass, man.
I think it's still kick ass. It's one of the few movies I can think of off the top of my head that
but when you look back on it now,
deal with occupation of the United States, which you seldom see. It's always Nazi occupied France, Nazi occupied whatever. It's always the past. To my knowledge, have never seen what was supposed to be a contemporary movie about occupied America.
That was
different for me.
Viewpoint.
Yeah. All right. So to combat your movie that you feel is dipped in the 80s, I'll give you a genuine dipped in the 80s movie, which is Pretty in Pink.
Oh, yes.
You know,
I contemplated some of
here's the thing.
John Hughes.
I love John Hughes.
I don't like Pretty in Pink.
Pretty in Pink does not do it for me.
Pretty in Pink.
The song is great. You know,
That's the Ducky movie.
Right? Yeah. This movie is a little too dipped in the 80s. Every single element in this movie screams
the 80s.
I like 16
Candles.
16 Candles was fine.
It's fun.
To me, that 16 Candles was far more timeless than Pretty in Pink.
It was.
I didn't care for the characters in Pretty in Pink. You know, obviously this is just a critique of the movie, but I didn't care for any of the characters. I didn't like her. She comes off as a bitch. And Ducky...
Yeah, she's... Okay.
You want to like him, but he comes off as pathetic.
Let me see if I can remember this, because I have seen it maybe once or twice. Now, Ducky is her best friend. He's the dorky best friend who's really in love with her.
Right.
But she's in love with the popular rich kid who's played by McCarthy?
Correct.
Right? Doesn't he wear,
he wears
sports jackets to school?
Yeah, all that. And then there's James Spader, who plays the friend to McCarthy. I like James Spader, and he does what James Spader does very well in this movie, which is play a sleazy asshole.
Hey, Blaine. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
What's up? What are you up to?
Oh, not much. Going to class?
Well, I saw you outside.
So
what were you doing?
What are you, my mother? Come on, I gotta go. I'll see you later.
Blaine, what's going on?
Nothing.
Well, not nothing. I mean, I saw you talking to that chick. What's her name? Eddie or something?
So what do you care?
Listen, my best friend is conversing with a mutant, you know, and I'm curious. I don't think that's any reason to get defensive.
I'm not defensive. I just happen to like her, right?
Listen, all right, it's your life. It's none of my business.
You really don't think she's got something?
No. I really don't. I'm sorry. You're going to be late, buddy.
The problem is, I don't really particularly like Andrew McCarthy in this either. I don't find anyone really likable in this movie.
If I remember correctly, I don't know where I saw this, but John Hughes originally wrote it to where she ended up with the Ducky character at the end, but Molly Ringwald wanted it changed. She didn't want to end up with Ducky.
Well, I got to agree with that one, because I would have not believed it if she ended up with Ducky, because she didn't want Ducky. She never did. They were not a good match together, and I think at the end of the day, Ducky even knew that. But in either case, though, this movie is so 80s, and the way that the guy's dressed, Ducky is so 80s.
Doesn't she make her own dress?
I think you're...
Or something?
Is that 16 Candles? I get them confused.
I thought that was Pretty in Pink.
It might be. I don't... All yeah, I know...
Because she wears a pink dress, right, at the end?
Yeah, okay, well then she must...
She likes those around... Because she's poor. She's poor. She's from the wrong side of the track.
The thing is, I remember more of the spoof of it and not another TV
movie.
Yeah, I know,
I'm thinking the same thing.
Than I do of the original. Yeah. But,
And when I think Ducky, I see the guy from Not Another Teen Movie and him making all those mixtapes.
Yeah. But, you know, it's really... In my opinion, it's stuck in the 80s and not in a good way.
No, not Janie Briggs. She's got glasses and a ponytail. And look at that, she's got paint on her overalls.
All right, what's your number four?
We're on four already?
Well, we just did five.
Okay, my number four.
Or did I go first? Oh, yeah, you went first.
I went first. Yeah, you're four. My number four is another teen movie. It predates Pretty in Pink. It's called Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
All right.
Now, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Now, this is what I was talking about when I said movies that, although they're dated by the way they look, hairstyles and whatnot, their material transcends time.
Yep.
But it is so stuck in the world of 1982 or whatever.
Sure.
You know, the movie opens and you hear, "We got the beat, we got the beat." You know, they show shots of the mall and shit, and everything that was in trend or in vogue in that time.
Right. Things that don't mean anything to people now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah, I get it totally.
So it's very, very stuck in that time. And the movie is still good.
Oh, it's an excellent
movie. It is good.
The themes transcend the decade.
Yes, but the characters, compared to other teen movies, they're better written as compared to other characters in similar genre. They are stereotypes in a way.
Mm-hmm.
The most notable, Spicoli, the stoner surfer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Learning about Cuba, having some food. Sorry.
Am I hallucinating here? Just what in the hell do you think you are doing?
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Mr. Spicoli, you're on dangerous ground here. You're causing a major disturbance on my time.
You know, I've been thinking about this, Mr. Hand. If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time? Certainly, there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
You're absolutely right, Mr. Spicoli. It is our time. Yours, mine, and everyone else's in this room. But it is my class. Hamilton, Brandt, Kornfeld, up front. Mr. Spicoli has been kind enough to bring us a snack. Be my guest. Help yourselves. Get a good one.
Hey.
No shoes, no shirt.
Hey, wait,
no,
what's this?
No service.
You always get that wrong. Fuck. It's no shoes, no shirt.
No dice.
No, wait, no, what's this? That was my skull! I think the first time I saw that movie, I saw the edited version where they didn't show Judge Reinhold whacking off.
Right.
They just showed him opening up the window.
Right.
And then...
And you just see her walk in on
it. Right. And then he closes it.
Yeah.
Before he starts whacking his dong.
No, I agree with you. Very dated, but that doesn't mean it's bad at all.
Mm-hmm.
It, if anything, that in, you know, retrospect, that 80s thing adds a flavor to it, to a movie that could be done today without changing a word and be exactly the same movie and just as good. I get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Mister, if you don't shut up, I'm going to kick 100% of your ass. Judge Reinhold did a great job.
Yeah, he did. All right, moving on. Gosh.
You're number four?
All right, you know, in light of what you just did, I'm going to go with, this is not necessarily in order on this one, I'm going to go with Gone with the Wind. Stay with me here. Gone with the Wind, obviously, is an American classic. I'm not bashing this movie in any way. I happen to love it. It's one of my favorites. However, it is so steeped in the 30s. It's not even funny. I'm not even talking about the Technicolor thing, all that. That obviously, it's a 30s movie. The way that characters were written and portrayed was so much of its time.
I wasn't going to put classics on there. I thought that just would have been against the rules.
No, I think this is absolutely appropriate, particularly the way the slaves are dealt with.
Of course it's dated when it's made back then. Of course it is.
Well, everything is dated if it's made back then.
No, I mean back then, like in the 30s. Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense, man. Casablanca.
Well, the bigger
Casablanca was made in the 50s. It does not feel nearly as dated as.
Of course it does. Of course it does. Oh. And the fact that it's in black and white, of course it does.
Okay, all right. Here's Casablanca feels more dated to me than The Day the Earth Stood Still, the original Day the Earth Stood Still. The original Day the Earth Stood Still does not feel dated
to
me.
Well, I agree with you
virtually at all.
I agree with you on that one.
So just because it was made 50 years ago doesn't necessarily mean it has to feel dated. But Gone with the Wind, because of the way that people of that time chose to make their heroes and heroines be, makes it very dated. The way in this particular movie they chose to depict slavery was a joke. It's ridiculous. If I was African American, I would look at that movie and laugh at it. It's a joke how they're portrayed.
How did they portray it?
They're portrayed as, I mean, literally. Literally. There is a scene.
Wait. Literally?
No, literally.
Okay.
There is a scene. They're in the South. This is not North. This is South.
Mm-hmm.
Where Scarlett O'Hara is going into town because everything's crazy. Everyone's going to war. And she passes Big Sam and a number, which was one of her slaves, and a number of his other slave buddies, and they're in line to go to war.
Big Sam! Big Sam!
Oh, mighty bull! This must come!
Big Sam! Big Sam! Sam! Large, prophet, apostle! I'm so glad to see you. Tell me about Tara, about my mother. She didn't write me.
She gone got sick, Miss Scarlet.
See?
Just a little bit sick. That's all, Miss Scarlet. Your pa, he just wild when we let him fight on account of his broken knee. And he had fits when they took all us field hands to dig the ditch for the white soldiers to hide in. But your ma said the Confederacy needs it. So we's going to dig for the South.
Sam, was there a doctor?
Time, man. We've got to march.
Goodbye, Miss Scarlet. Don't worry. We'll stop them Yankees.
Goodbye, Big Sam. Goodbye, boys. Penny, if you get sick ahead, let me know.
Bye, Miss Scarlet.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
A leading man is always a leading man. But this particular leading man, because of the time he was made, he was extremely forceful with Scarlett. He could grab her, he could pull her, he could do things that you can't do today. Now that, I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing, that's just something that dates it in that time. And definitely does not transcend, because the way that people act towards, you know, the way men and women act towards each other changes and evolves. It's not a universal constant. So that changes. Scarlett as a character, pretty universal. She's just a strong-willed woman, period. But
she's still subservient to...
Hell no, she's subservient to no one.
But isn't she in the presence of...
Of Rhett?
Yeah.
Hell no. No? Have you seen this movie?
A very long time ago.
Rhett Butler chases her through the bulk of that movie. She only gets with Rhett Butler because she's got no other choice. And that's only after she's exhausted like two or three other husbands. Rhett Butler is the bitch in this relationship, no doubt about
it.
Yeah, but that's what makes it fun to watch. But it's extremely dated, but still a classic. I still love it. But nevertheless, moving on. Are we on to year three or four? Where are we?
I think we're on my number three.
Okay.
Okay. My number three stars a very well-known hero of the film medium.
Give me a clue.
He's known by only one name, and that name is Dalton. I'm talking about Roadhouse.
All right. A mullet will never transcend time.
The movie makes me laugh just thinking about it. We're talking about a guy who is... He's a world-class bouncer.
Yeah, famous.
Bouncer. We're talking about a guy who works in clubs, and he's got a very Mr. Miyagi-esque way of looking at life. It's just very funny. Okay, his three rules for bouncing. Okay, see if I can remember this right.
I'm telling you straight. It's my way or the highway. So anybody wants to walk, do it now. All right. People who really want to have a good time won't come to a slaughterhouse. And we've got entirely too many troublemakers here. Too many 40-year-old adolescents, felons, power drinkers, and trustees of modern chemistry. It's going to change.
Man, that sure sounds good. But a lot of the guys who come in here, we can't handle one-on-one. Even two-on-one.
Don't worry about it. All you have to do is follow three simple rules. One, never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected. Two, take it outside. Never start anything inside the bar unless it's absolutely necessary. And three, be nice.
Come on.
If somebody gets in your face and calls you a cocksucker, I want you to be nice.
Okay.
Ask him to walk, but be nice. If he won't walk, walk him, but be nice. If you can't walk him, one of the others will help you, and you'll both be nice. I want you to remember that it's a job. It's nothing personal.
Uh-huh. Being called a cocksucker isn't personal?
No. It's two nouns combined to elicit a prescribed response.
I wonder if somebody calls my mama a whore.
Is she? I want you to be nice until it's time to not be nice.
Well, how are we supposed to know when that is?
You won't. I'll let you know. You are the bouncers, I am the cooler. All you have to do is watch my back and each other's. Take out the trash.
He is very nice. Until they start fucking him over and they kill that guy, his best friend, and he's like, oh man, I'm pissed off now. I'm going to take my shirt off and I'm going to rip your throat out.
I know what you're saying, though. I mean, it's an extremely campy, if campy's the right word. Right. I don't, maybe campy.
And there's
not
that
the right
scene
word.
Where the bad guys go to the car dealership with their monster truck and they actually run over all the cars. It's just like they said, we want to have a monster truck in this movie just for some reason. And we have a monster truck, we gotta crush cars.
No, I know what you're saying, you know. I mean, it's over the top, it's cheesy. You know what gets me through it is Patrick Swayze. Because no matter how bad the lines are that he's having to deliver, Patrick Swayze, through any of his movies, I would argue, has this way of delivering them in a way that make you like him anyway. Even though the shit that comes out of his mouth can be so fantastically stupid, somehow he does it in an endearing way.
How about in the beginning, the opening scene, after he's been slashed by a knife, he's sitting there stitching himself up.
He's stitching himself up with Patrick Swayze.
No anesthetic.
He can get away with that.
It's just,
he's the kind of guy you'd follow into battle. He just kind of gives off that vibe. Mm-hmm. I like that vibe, you know. But I mean, totally. I'm sucked into it, too. It's for the same guilty pleasure reasons. Okay, so I'm looking at my number three. This is a tough one because I all think they rank equally. I'm going to go with Flash Gordon. 1980s Flash Gordon. 1980-something.
Yeah, okay.
If ever there is a movie that is stuck in the 80s, it is Flash Gordon. For those of you that don't know it, it is a sci-fi movie. It can't be...
Flash! Rada!
It'll save every one of us. Oh, gosh. What camp doesn't begin to describe this movie. It is, however, I think, a really great and fun movie. But it is, the cheese factor is off the charts.
If you get it, you got to get into the camp.
The music is 80s. You know, everything about it screams 80s. But it's one of those movies that I think the camp factor is what makes it good. Just like the original Batman movie, TV show. You know,
well, it's not that campy.
No, it's not that campy, but that,
they're not throwing up pow and
obviously not. But that show was made to be campy and goofy, and that was part of its charm. It's my belief that Flash Gordon the movie was made with every intention to be campy and corny and goofy, just like that. I think people, as a general, you know, opinion towards this movie, think it was just a badly made movie that people love anyway. I think it's brilliant. I think they intended it to be this way.
Brilliant, maybe a strong word.
I think it was genius.
Genius?
I think if you look at those delicate strokes that were applied to this, if it were one or two scenes that had a great moment, I wouldn't think this. But the movie is littered with great moments that the cheese plays a big factor in. Look at Ming himself, Emperor Ming, Max von Sydow. You know, this guy knows what he's doing. This is an accomplished actor. He plays Ming.
The power of Christ compels you.
He plays Ming over the top and cheesy. But that's what makes him fun. That's why I think this was intentional.
You'd call out the attack?
I could.
Everyone would be saved?
Yes. And no. After the earthquakes and tidal waves, they won't be quite the human beings you remember. They'll be more tractable, easier for you to rule in the name of Ming.
You mean slaves?
Let's say they'll be satisfied with less.
What about Dale?
Dale, we have decided to marry her. She's exceptional. We will breed with her and send our imperial progeny back to populate your earth. You really prefer death to a kingdom? I'm disappointed. I'd much rather see you on my side than scattered into atoms.
You know, you look at the main guy, the guy playing Flash. This guy couldn't act his way out of a paper bag. However, you love him anyway. He's so damn good and honest. But
isn't Timothy Dalton in it?
Timothy Dalton's in it. Again, he's got moments of very serious acting, and then other parts where he's kind of off the charts.
Isn't he supposed to be a bad guy, but he turns good or something?
Well, you know, he wouldn't think of himself as a bad guy.
Don't they duke it out? Yeah. Some kind of big saucer teacup?
On a big platform that's moving and rotating, and spikes are coming out.
Gotta have spikes.
Brian Blessed plays a Hawkman, and it's loaded with.
Yeah, I remember there are Birdman in it.
Yeah, it's loaded with great people. Yeah. I think it was intentionally cheesy, intentionally campy, and due to the '80s campy. And in my opinion, it's part of the charm.
It's got the '80s cheese cloth on it.
Yeah, but when I watch it now, I don't watch it and go, "Ugh, it's that pretty and pink '80s thing." I think, "Oh God, yeah, it's Flash Gordon. I love that shit." Mm-hmm. You know, it's that kind of camp cheese factor, but it's the greatest kind.
Well, yeah, since it's not set in
maybe that's part of it America, because yeah, it's not modern day '80s. It's the future version,
right?
You know, I mean, it starts off in the '80s, but they're quickly in space where the '80s. Customs don't apply.
Yeah, I mean, it takes place in a fantasy world, so it's not connected to reality.
Yeah, but it's the future as seen through the eyes of the 80s,
sure.
Which has its own... It's very hard to find a really good 80s sci-fi.
I mean, we're not going
to
have flying cars by 2015. And hoverboards? I want my fucking hoverboard!
Yeah. All right, moving on. What's your... Are you down to two?
I think so. Oh, my number two! My number two is good. I like my number two.
All right, give it up.
So, what do you want to do tonight? Do you you want to swing over to Carousel? See if anybody gets renewed?
Oh, you bastard. That's my number two.
Yes! Yes! Logan's Run, baby.
Damn it.
Logan's Run.
Perhaps you'll be renewed.
Perhaps you'll be renewed. You think, have you ever seen anybody renewed? Of course!
Run, runner!
Francis, did you ever see anybody renewed?
I think you've been sculling out too much. Where's the nursery and ask silly questions?
No, but did you?
Did I what?
See anybody we know?
Of course.
Anybody we know?
Look, get into the water. You need it more than I do.
All right, no, wait. If we're doing quotes, you got to do box.
Fish and plankton and sea greens and protein from the sea.
I can never.
They're all here, ready, fresh as harvest day.
Box the robot.
Fish, plankton, sea greens, and protein from the sea. Fresh as harvest day. Overwhelming, am I not? Are you too startled? Am I too removed from your ken?
Who are you?
I'm more than machine or man. More than a fusion of the two. Don't you agree?
We were just mentioning...
Good cheese.
The cheese. But in our talks about Flash Gordon, we were talking about how the past, how they thought the future would be. Another one of those moments. So, it's looking at the future, but this movie is so 70s, man. Just, like I said, whatever movie, Red Dawn, was dipped in the 80s, this movie is dipped in the 70s, double dipped in the 70s. Everything about it says 70s. 70s is its middle name, right?
Logan's Run through the 70s.
Exactly. The hairstyles, the clothing, the idea behind the movie is still really interesting. It's interesting to live in these dome cities after I think it was a
war
nuclear war.
Destruction. It destroyed most of the outside. Earth. Yeah.
It's an interesting idea, and the fact that these people can only live for 30 years and they're sectioned off into these age groups that wear these different colors. That's an interesting idea, and they have the Sandmen.
Well, you know, I mean, it's important to point out here, they're killed off at age 30 because they need to control the population
inside
these domes. Otherwise, they would have voted
for Democrat. It has a very interesting premise, which
But no one knows that.
No one knows that, no.
Yeah.
It has a very interesting premise, which is why the movie has survived over time.
Right.
But when you look back on it, it's just a product of its time.
Mm-hmm.
It was made in the 70s. It looks like the 70s version of the future. You can't get away from that no matter what you do. Even though the movie is fun, you can't get away from it.
And one of the one of the aesthetics of that 70s version of things was everything was very sparse. Everything was very big.
That's the way they thought the future would look like. That's what they thought the future looked like back then.
You know,
it would just be all white, clean,
black and gray, but very empty. Mm-hmm. You know,
Not a lot of stuff. Not a little trinkets.
Yeah, no. Very thin.
Oh, this is pretty cool though. In the future, you can apparently just dial up somebody if you want to have sex with them, which is pretty cool.
Put yourself on the circuit.
It's the circuit, as they call it.
Yeah. No, definitely great movie. Would have been my number two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but okay, I hear you. All right,
still fun.
Number two.
Still fun.
All right. So, well, that skips my number two. Should we just go to your number one or do my number one?
You don't have an extra?
No, I don't have a backup for this.
Well, no.
I can do my number one.
I just did my number two, so I don't want to go again yet.
All right, then. My number one is a movie you have not seen.
Ooh.
It's called The Warriors.
I've seen it.
What?
Yeah.
Are we talking... You've seen The Warriors.
You see what happens when you mess with the orphans?
Okay, you've seen The Warriors. All right. Well, The Warriors.
Warriors!
Come out to play!
Yay!
Yes, I've seen it.
Clink, clink.
Very 80s.
If you want to do a biography on the 80s, the Warriors would be chapter one.
The Warriors is actually, I think, a really good movie as long as you remove yourself from the notion.
I thought that the different gangs were a little goopy. Like, some were dressed up as like
baseball players. I know. That's the 80s stuff of how 80s cinema wanted to view in a not too serious way. You know, the gang population of big cities like New York or Chicago. You know, with having whole gangs in one area, like you said, dressed up as baseball players with their faces painted. Little cheesy, just a tad. But the actual content of the movie was good. Basically, the movie follows...
Well, when did you first see The Warriors?
I just saw The Warriors like a year ago.
For the first time?
Yeah, I got it on HD DVD, and I got it as a blind buy.
I thought that maybe if I'd seen The Warriors when I was a kid,
yeah,
I'd have an affection for it. But since I saw it for the first time maybe 3 or 4 years ago,
yeah,
it was hard to get out of that.
I fell in love
dated
with it.
Element.
The dated element was what you just have to kind of look past it and embrace it for what it is. Almost like it's an alternate universe and it's...
Well, you know, when I was watching The Warriors, I wanted them to run into the gangs from Avengers and Babysitter.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with the Lords of Hell.
Yeah, it's almost that over the top. Mm-hmm. Well, it is that over the top and then some. But the characters, the guy that ultimate, he wasn't the leader of the Warriors. He ended up being the default leader of the Warriors that... we follow as they then meet the girl who follows them with him. Something about the relationship between the two of them, which was largely unspoken, I just totally fell in love with that. I mean, when they get to the end, and the bad guys that are really after them, with the guy that goes, "Warriors, come out to play." That guy's creepy as shit.
Yeah.
And I was genuinely scared for them because this guy had no camp about him. I mean, he was over the top, you know, wing, 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 bad guy. But he was definitely threatening. And when they get confronted on the beach at the end, and the biggest, baddest gang ultimately shows up to solve the disagreement, when it's such a joke, it's like so bad. When he looks to the guy that's now leading the Warriors, and he goes, "You Warriors, you're good." And he's all, "The best." I mean, it's so cheesy. But that's its charm, man. Its charm is in its cheese. And this guy, who I've never seen in any other movie, has that same honest goodness that the guy that played Flash Gordon does, where he can't act real well, but he comes off as so good-natured and so honest that you like him and you want to see him succeed, even though some of the people in his group are morons, you know, but you actually get caught up in their peril, and it's essentially a road movie trying to get from point A to point B. But I enjoy it, but it is way 80s over the
definitely.
Top.
I don't remember enjoying it that much. It was fun to as a retrospective.
Loved it.
I'm surprised that you actually loved it.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. I had a smile on my face the whole time.
It was just too goofy.
That's part of the reason why I loved it.
I don't know. I just didn't like it that much.
I can't believe you've seen it. I had no idea you'd seen it.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't that moved that by it, so quotes. We never talked about it. Yeah. Well, how can you forget those ones? I mean, those are just...
Well, just standards. That clink, clink.
Well, that's clink. That's yeah. Like the most
it's like iconic, well-known. You know, yeah. All right, so I'm very curious. What's your number one?
Well, my number one, I know you have seen, definitely you've seen, but I think a lot of people maybe haven't.
Electric Dreams, electric, ooh la la la.
Yeah, Electric Dreams, baby.
Oh boy. Yeah, nothing will date a movie more than showing computers at the time.
Okay, now Electric Dreams, if you haven't seen it, came out somewhere in the early 80s. Stars, was it Virginia Madsen?
Virginia Madsen.
And this other guy I can never remember the name of.
Was it Miles?
That's his name in the movie.
Oh.
Whatever.
Oh, it's Lenny.
Lenny something.
Yeah, Lenny something.
Yeah. Anyway, Lenny, who is affectionately known as Moles in the movie.
Moles, I want to meet her!
He's kind of a dorky business 80s guy.
Yeah, sure.
Kind of. And he buys a computer, which was very high tech back then. You know, people didn't have personal computers back then.
Right.
Buys a computer. And
yeah, a computer that with like 5 megabytes somehow control his house.
It looks slightly more advanced than like a Mac Classic or something.
Yeah, just barely.
Basically. So I forget what he's doing. For some reason, he has a bottle of champagne, right? Yeah. And he spills the champagne on the computer. And whoa, the computer comes to life. It's suddenly sentient. It's like when Johnny Five gets, you know, hit by lightning. You know, he's suddenly endowed with sentience.
Need input.
Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? So this computer springs to life. All the while this is going on, Virginia Madsen, who's a cellist,
yeah,
I believe, has moved in upstairs, I believe. And, of course, Mold is completely smitten with her. She's very attractive. Wants to woo her. So as this computer comes to life, they end up becoming friends, and he uses the computer to woo Virginia Madsen. And there's some cheesy sequences where the computer's writing songs that he's going to give to her.
The computer basically falls in love with her, too.
That's right.
That's really the key here.
The computer's name is Edgar.
Edgar, the computer, falls in love with her, too. Mm-hmm. And she, through a series of mistaken situations...
Right. She
falls in love with Miles, but she falls in love with Miles... and the computer. She doesn't realize she's in love with the computer.
Right.
The computer is producing its own music, which, of course, she's very drawn to, and she thinks that Miles is doing it. She likes Miles as a person,
right.
But she also thinks he's producing this music.
Mm-hmm.
So she's in love with Miles and what the computer does for her.
Mm-hmm.
And the computer is quite jealous, and so is Miles.
Right. They end up becoming rivals and fighting against each other.
And having power struggles, and that gets fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the computer ends up tapping into his money, you know, credit cards, and just torturing him in general.
Well, they had technology in the movie that, for its time, would have been considered like, whoa, that's preposterous. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, he hooks up the computer to his coffee maker, his locks on the house, things like that. They're like, computers can't do that. That's insane. You look at it now. I mean, computers can do things like
people. Now you can do all that on your BlackBerry.
Right. People can do things with their computers nowadays like they can do back then. But
right.
Computer technology in this movie was given like a 20-year advance or something.
No, I know what you're saying.
Right. But the movie aesthetically is very 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Very 80s. And there's a scene in the movie that I always remember. I don't know why. That happens sometimes, where Virginia Madsen's in an elevator and she's going to a performance. Like I said, she's a cellist, she gets into an elevator, but she's rushed, and the doors close on her cello, and it crushes it.
Right.
And she's completely heartbroken, of course, because she's had this cello for as long as she can remember. So she goes to Miles to be consoled, and she's crying. And
it's just a cello.
Yeah, he says it's. Fuck you, I wanted to say that, you fucking son of a bitch. I had that long-ass build-up.
Sorry.
To do the fucking line.
Well, do it correctly.
He says,
listen to me, Madeline. What made that cello special was you. Nothing else. Whatever came out of it, you put into it. Every sound, every scratch, every note, every feeling.
Miles,
and that's not lost, because it's inside of you. Here. Where it always will be. And it'll happen again.
You think so?
I know so.
But it doesn't matter, because you ruined
it. Well, no, I wouldn't have remembered that other part.
Yeah, but you ruined the beginning. You ruined it.
Well, that's the problem when we grew up.
I was giving exposition, and you ruined it. But whatever. Electric Dreams. And I read a blurb on the internet somewhere that they might want to remake this, which would make sense in today's
world. Well, yeah, sure. That's a movie that would certainly warrant a remake.
Mm-hmm.
They'd ruin it, of course.
I don't think it'll ever happen, but...
Well, of course, it'll star Will Smith.
Yeah.
And he'll have to duel with a robotic spider somehow at the end, I'm sure.
It shoots green shit at him.
All right, well, I think we've exhausted our five. Only one overlap.
Only one.
That's impressive.
Well, Logan's Run honestly was the first movie I thought of in terms of dating.
It's not my order of this, but it was the first one I wrote down. It was the first one that popped into my head. So,
all right, that's the end of our show.
See you next time.
See you later.